Come on, how many love Jesus in here? Before you're seated, you got to give it up for this team. Come on. The band, the production brought cameras, brought, but how about them singers? Come on, somebody. And wasn't that a word on the offering? I'm totally ripping that off and giving Jesus the credit. Yes, I am. That was a word. Now, come on, your pastors, if they're not watching, if they're like me, they probably gonna be watching the replay at least. You've got to give them some love. Let me tell you why I say that. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Me and Pastor Evan have known each other for a long time now. And he is one of, probably on one hand, the top 3 to 5 kindest pastors that I've ever... I've been around some jerks, y'all. Come on. I've been around... You just preached and you're treating the waitress like that. Are you kidding me? But not Pastor Evan. Generous, courteous. He's been to our place several times, and he's well respected, not only around Texas but around the world. And how many know he married way up? Can we give Pastor Evan and First Lady a great God bless you? Come on, let's show some love. We love you. I want to welcome our online audience as well. If you have your Bibles, you can be seated. They have a picture of my family that I'll show you. It's a beautiful picture. You're going to figure out why I got 3 beautiful girls. Look at my wife. I have 3 beautiful daughters, Sydney, Ashton, and Eden. We were going to name them Shirley, Goodness, and Mercy, but we were afraid that the last one may follow us all the days of our lives, so we didn't want that to happen. My middle daughter just got married. She moved to Washington, D.C. My baby got married, moved to Austin. My oldest is not married, and she's still with me. Say praise the Lord. Come on. And I'm claiming them all back. I'm calling them all back home in Jesus' name in the right timing. But so honored to be with you today. And before I preach, when I went to Forney, Texas 20 years ago, we had no people, no money, but we had vision. And our first year in Forney was a walk through hell. Our middle daughter was bit by a snake. She was 3 years old in the backyard. My wife had a spinal tap that didn't plug right, and the procedure wasn't done right, and she literally, you know, came close to death. And you know, my house caught on fire. My truck broke down. I felt like a country music song, y'all. A few years after that, my dad was killed in a car accident. How many know if you have a dream from heaven, hell will fight it? I wrote a book, and I'm not here to sell books, I'm here to preach. But I want to invest this into your life. And I mean this investment, I mean it's an investment. It's a textbook on dreaming. If you have a dream to start a business, if you have a dream to be a stay-at-home mom, be the first in your family to graduate college, maybe a ministry, you need to get this book. They're $15 a piece. And what I'm doing, I wrote another book called 21 Principles of Godly Prosperity. How many know prosperity has become a bad word in our culture? But anything Psalm 35:27, God takes pleasure in, we should lean into. Above all things, I would that you prosper and be in good health. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. But prosperity looks a little bit, if you can see the camera, it's a picture of my family on the front, because that's what prosperity looks like to me. And I say that in all seriousness. I don't think we have as many of these as we do Dream On. I brought more Dream On. But you can get 1 for $15 or 2 for $20. So basically, you can get the second one for $5 more. And again, I'm not here. Pastor Evan's a generous man. I'm not here to make a buck. I really am. I really see this as part of my ministry as well. And so I encourage you to pick 1 or 2 up on the way out. And I'll be out there afterwards, and I'll sign them for you if you're interested. Numbers chapter 13. Again, I'm so honored to be here. There are good sermons and there are long sermons. But there are no good long sermons. I like what Joel Osteen says. Blessed are the short-winded. They'll be invited back. So I know my place, and we're not going to be here forever. I'll have you out of here by 2 at least. Numbers chapter 13. God has a land for the Israelites. He tells Moses to pick out 12 spies, go into the land, not to see if you can do it, but to see how you can take the land. Because let me know if God says something's going to happen, it's always going to happen. And verse 26, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are very powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the edge of the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Just stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Then Caleb, I love Caleb, verse 30, silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devoured those living in it. All the people we saw there of great size." And listen how they kind of talk themselves into fear. "We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." I want to talk to you for the next few minutes on the thought, becoming a momentum maker. Becoming a momentum maker. And God knows my heart. I was planning on preaching something else up until this past Tuesday. This past Tuesday, God changed my message. And I said, you know what, I'm going to bring. And so I told Pastor Eben on Friday what I was preaching. And he said, "Well, you do know momentum is our theme." I had no idea. So I know you're in the right place, because God wants to raise up 1,000 momentum makers this day in this church. I believe that with all of my heart. If I want to be successful in any area of life, I'm going to have the ability to create momentum. Because how many know life hits? I'm going to have the ability to step into a hopeless situation and speak hope. It might be in a board meeting with a bunch of naysayers and people criticizing the boss, and I'm the one that steps in and I move the room. It might be a cancer report that I receive, and instead of taking that report, I build my faith by speaking the word of God to that report. Anybody hear what I'm saying? In Mark 5, Jairus had a daughter, and she was sick, and Jesus went in, and the Bible says they were wailing and mourning and crying, and Jesus, sweet Jesus, said, "Get out." Why? Because our tears don't move God to action. They move God to compassion. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmity, but if you want things to change, he's not moved by our tears, he's moved by our faith. And he said, "I'm going to take 3 momentum makers, my ministry team, Peter, James, and John. They're going to go in with me, and we're going to see the miracle, because momentum makers know how to change the atmosphere in the room." John Maxwell calls momentum the big mo. He said, "Momentum is the greatest thing an organization can have and the hardest thing to get. So if you ever do get momentum, do all you can do to keep it." Momentum is when moments and opportunities collide. If I want to be a momentum maker, I'm going to have to understand and recognize moments. I'm going to have to identify God moments. And the reason a lot of times we don't identify God moments in our life is because they don't come wrapped like a God moment would. It doesn't look like a God moment when your wife comes in after 25 years of marriage and serves papers and wants a divorce. Can I get real? It doesn't look like a God moment when the doctor diagnoses you with sugar diabetes or high blood pressure, cancer, or anybody hear what I'm saying? It doesn't look like a God moment. But if we're not careful, we can miss what God is wanting to do in spite of a situation in our life. "Well, Pastor Richard, me enlighten you. I've been serving God for 40 years and I've got discernment." Well, what are you going to do with the disciples who have been with Jesus for 3.5 years, day and night? Jesus comes walking on the water. That would be my first sign that was Jesus. The man's walking on water. He's God. And they saw him walking on water. And your Bible says these disciples thought he was a ghost. They almost missed their moment. Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave birth to Jesus. Yet resurrection morning outside the tomb, she almost missed him thinking he was the gardener. She gave birth to Jesus and still almost missed what he was wanting to do in her life. When I went to Forney 20 years ago, there were metal buildings and a McDonald's and a Dairy Queen. 8,712 was the population. It was the antique capital of the world. That was about all that was there. I started driving around, looking at property, kind of following a real estate agent in her car. She said, "Ever consider going to Forney?" I said, "I don't even know where Forney is. Never even heard of Forney." She said, "Get in the car and follow me from Mesquite." And so we started driving around in Forney. And I called my wife and I said, "Baby, I just feel something. I really feel like this might be the place." And I remember her mom and dad through the phone, I could hear them say, "That's too far out. That's too far. Don't go to Forney. That's too far out." I wonder how many people God tried to get to go to Forney before me that were much more qualified, that could speak well, lead better than me, do all the things better, but they missed their moment. See, I identified my moment of where I was at the time, and now I live in the fastest growing county in the nation. I didn't know that 20 years ago. I remember being in a church service like this and in need of about $500,000 to remodel our building, our last building we were in. And we were down to $12,000 to our name. How many of us are far way off? And I was in that service and the preacher stood up to receive an offering for a young couple going to start a church in Nashville, Tennessee. And I could have missed my moment. I could have been like some of you, that preacher just wants my money. I could have been like some people that walk in and say, "Well, why is he not doing that for me? I filled out a benevolence request and I need help too. And I see they're helping this person." I could have missed my moment. But I found when I'm down to nothing, God's always up to something. And if it doesn't meet my need, it must be a seed. And so I sowed $10,000 of my 12 into that offering. 1 week later, I got a guy on the front row here that could testify to this story. 1 week later, a complete stranger was in my church. The next morning at Olive Garden, he gave me $100,000. Watch this now. Within 30 days, he gave $100,000 more. Now people's faith is increasing. And we ended up remodeling that thing, $1 million out of pocket, owed no man anything. Why? Because I didn't miss my moment. In our reading, the Israelites had just come out of Egypt with crazy momentum. They saw God move, the plagues, the miracles, the death angel passed over their house, the Red Sea parted. And now your Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, they were 11 days away from the promised land. 11 days away from being the lender, not the borrower. 11 days away from being blessed and highly favored. 11 days away from their miracle. And God says, "We got momentum. I want you to take 12 leaders." These aren't newbies. These weren't new Christians. These were leaders, one for each tribe. Send them into the land and spy it out, not to see if you can do it, but to see how you can do it. And they came back, and 10 of them had one response, and 2 of them had an opposite response. And in every group, every church, every organization, there's the same 2 kinds of people. There's momentum makers and there's momentum takers. Great tasters and people looking at the same thing, giant talkers. People come back talking about the promises of God. People coming back talking about the problem. People coming back looking at the same thing. Coming back talking about there's opportunity there. Yeah, but there's opposition there. Those giants are so big. We can't win. Moses, Joshua and Caleb said, those giants are so big, we can't miss. It's all about perspective. If you're taking notes and following the outline, momentum makers find potential in every problem. But out to the side there, if you want to write, momentum takers find a problem with every potential. And it's so funny. They did the same thing 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago that people do in church today. Negative people can't be negative by themselves. Negative people need an audience. Oh, you know I'm preaching. Negative people need somebody to justify their negativity. Did you see giant? No, I saw grapes. Did you see giants? No, I saw. I think Moses kind of lost it. I think Moses is a great leader. He obviously heard from God because there's grapes there. Did you see giants? I didn't see giants. I don't know what you're talking about. Did you see giants? No. Did you see giants? Yeah, I saw it. We saw giants. And they find somebody to agree with them. Don't miss this now. Because it can be the thing that can be detrimental to why you don't go to church. Too many hypocrites. The place is full of hypocrites. You tell them, no, we had a few seats open for you. Because you're not a hypocrite when you're at church. Honey, you're a hypocrite when you're clubbing on Saturday night. I thought I was at my church for a second. I'm sorry. I'll be nice. Yeah, so if we're not careful, we'll get people to help us justify our criticism. That's why I don't give my money to that church. That's why I don't serve. That's why I don't do this or do that. And negative people always need an audience. Say amen, somebody. Momentum makers find potential in every problem, but they also live intentional, not accidental. They live by design, not default. On purpose and for a purpose. They happen to the world before the world happens to them. Momentum makers see grapes when others see giants. Momentum takers see giants even when there's grapes. Now I want you to lean in for a second. Momentum makers, they break through. When there's a hard case, something bigger than them, they understand it's not bigger than the God in them. Momentum makers break through. Momentum takers break down. They quit and they give up. Momentum takers break down. I'm about to run for the dough. Momentum takers break down because momentum takers are momentum fakers. There were 12 spies and they all looked the same. Dressed the same. Their vocabulary and language was the same. The color of their skin was the same. Everything was the same on the outer. But two of them were faithers. 10 of them were fakers. Because when I grew up in church, the old timers used to say, now we'll see. You know what they meant? You know, when they're going, some of you nodding your head, you know what I'm talking about. Now we'll see what they've been doing in private all this time when, you know, now hell is hit. And I know they had a good church life, but they had no prayer life. I know they knew how to amen the preacher, but they didn't know the word of God and how to stand on the word for themselves. See, fakers come to church because of. Everything's good in my life, so I'm there. But faithers know how to come in spite of. Going through hell and back's important. I'm going through it, but I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to grow through it. And what I grow through, what I go through, always produces a breakthrough. Anybody hear what I'm saying? So there's fakers and there's faithers. There's faithers that are sincere, and there's fakers that don't even give the first 10% of their money. Everybody thinks they're spiritual. Everybody thinks they're right with God, but they have a porn addiction. They're cheating on their spouse or their taxes, all the same with God. And so what happens, if we're not careful, will slide in from being a maker to a taker and a faither to a faker. Jacob, stay with me now. Jacob had momentum. It's hard to have much more momentum than to have Abraham as your grandfather. He had Isaac as his daddy. He had mojo, man. He had momentum. Jacob, meaning deceiver, faker, goes and deceives his earthly father. He didn't deceive his heavenly father because we can't deceive him. He deceived his earthly father. But because he recognized a moment with the angel, you remember he said, surely the presence of God is in this place. And I was unaware. I almost missed my moment. But because I reached out, because I understood my moment, God moved me from a faker to a faither. He changed my name from Jacob, deceiver, faker, to Israel, friend of God. The 12 stones of Israel in Revelations come from this passage, this story. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, if you don't miss your moment, God, when you have a hard case, when you have a giant, when you have a situation that's too big for you, it's not too big for the God in you. If you understand who God is, he's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo, El Shaddai. Die. He's more than enough. He's not a man that he would lie. The son of man that he repent. He's not slack concerning his promises. He'll do what he said he would do. But you have to build your foundation not on your fears, not on your flesh, but on your faith in God's word. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I'll trust in the name of the Lord my God. I won't back down. I won't give up. I won't give in. I won't quit. Why? Because my faith is not built on my opinion or my emotions. My faith is built on God's word. Come on, take a praise break right now. But Joshua and Caleb said, we refuse to be fakers. We refuse to be momentum takers and just take whatever life throws our way. And they did three things. Write these down in your outline. Number one, they saw potential. They saw potential. God's word is full of him trying to get his people to see what he sees. Abraham, go outside the tent. What do you see? I see stars. I see sand. Joshua, look at the city. I know it's impossible. It's tightly shut up. What do you see? Look at the city. Isaiah 43, God says, I've done some great things. Behold, I do a new thing. See, because you're never going to get it if you have to see it first. The righteous walk by their faith, not by their sight. Key word there. Not Pawpaw's faith, not Auntie's faith, not Mama's faith, not preacher's faith. I got to get me some faith for myself to take me through the storms of life. The righteous walk, but I got to see. I can't miss what God wants to do. Don't miss this. John 4, Jesus said, say not 4 more months. Stop procrastinating. Open your eyes. See the fields. Got to see it. And you might miss it if you're not careful. Napoleon, what a word and a song. Will you stand? Napoleon's my new black friend. How many know every white man needs a black man friend? Jonathan's not here. I just called him out, didn't I? I need a white man. Robert, stand up. There he is, Jonathan. I got two. Double for my trouble right there. Jonathan, just stand for me for a second. Now, I promise you I'm making a point here. You're my black friend. You're my white friend. Did me calling the color of their skin out, did it shock anybody in here? Did anybody like, wow, I had no idea. I had no idea. Is it Pastor? Pastor Napoleon's black, y'all. We had no idea. is it Pastor? Pastor Jonathan's white. If you get anything out of today's message, get what I'm about to say. John chapter 4. Jesus never would have said, the harvest is ready, if it was obvious the harvest was ready. You never state the obvious. And he was making a point. I'm doing something so big in your life, but if you're not careful, you can miss it. But today, God has sent me in this room to remind somebody this is a moment, and there's an opportunity coming your way this week, next week, this month, next month. And because of this little reminder, you're going to catch a wave of momentum, and the rest of your year is going to be the best of your year. And you're going to, signs and wonders are going to follow. You're not going to have to go follow a sign or wonder. Signs and wonders are following. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Come on, touch two or three people and say, I got momentum. I got momentum. Momentum is coming to find me. I don't have to go looking for it. They saw potential. And then they spoke. I got to move fast. Then they spoke life. It matters what you say. If you say you can or if you say you can't, you're right. You're the prophet of your tomorrow. You are living on yesterday's words. It matters what we say. Caleb stood up. He silenced the people. How did Caleb? They estimate over 1 million people. No PA. Think about this now. This ain't Sunday school. We're supposed to just, let's think this through. 1 million people, no microphone, no sound system. Yet one man stands up. That's almost as unbelievable as somebody can be swallowed by a fish and live to tell about it. That's really out there if you think about it. How in the world did that happen? If you look at the beginning of this chapter, when he was calling out the leaders from each tribe, he gets to Caleb and he says, Caleb, send Caleb from the tribe of Judah. Genesis chapter 49 says Judah means praise. Caleb was a praiser. And when you know how to praise him on Sunday, it magnifies your voice on Monday. And what he did in the natural, God turned around in the supernatural and gave him influence, and he silenced the crowd. But watch this. A lot of times people can't speak up because they can't stand up. They don't know what they believe. So they're at school meetings, at school board meetings, and they're at different places, and they know what mama said, they know what daddy said, but they don't know what they believe. Therefore, they're good people, but they don't know how to stand. Caleb stood up. He had some courage. He had a backbone. He said, I know what I believe. And now I'm going to speak up. And it worked. He silenced the people. It's important that we not only see potential, but we speak life. Moses, speak to the rock. He didn't speak to it. He struck it. God was trying to get him ready for a great miracle. God had his mind on Jericho. He knew that there were going to be many rocks that they were going to have to speak to at Jericho. And if you can't speak to the little rock today, how are you going to speak to the multitude of massive rocks tomorrow? If I can't speak to the flu today, how am I going to speak to cancer tomorrow? If I can't speak to layoff, how am I going to speak to bankruptcy? If I can't speak to a separation, how am I going to speak to divorce? If I can't speak to a rebellious teenager, how am I going to speak to overdose and addiction? I got to learn how to speak God's word in every area of my life. Proverbs 18:21 says life and death. I got to move fast. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That word power in the Hebrew comes from a word yod, Y-A-W-D. Check me out. It literally means hand. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if I want to move something in the natural, I take my hand and I move it. But if I want to move something in the spirit, I got to take my hand, my yod, my tongue, calling things that are not as though they were. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let him, if any man speaks to this mountain and be removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. Let the poor, don't say I'm poor, say I'm rich. Let the bound say I'm free. Let the weak, my arthritis. No, let the weak say I'm strong. Because you get what you say. And if you'll say what you hear, eventually you'll see what you said. See potential, speak life. And they seized an opportunity. And if you're in here today facing giants like the Israelites, seeing death and dry bones all around like Ezekiel, walls of impossibility like Joshua, God has sent me in this room. I know I'm on assignment. To tell you, if you will open your eyes and see what God wants you to see, if you will open your mouth and say what God wants you to say, you can open your hands and seize what God wants you to seize. How? Come on. Is anybody getting this, what I'm throwing down? Are you picking it up? God's got destiny for you and your children and your grandchildren and your health and your wealth and everything, all your dreams, all your desires. But you got to speak up. You got to see. And you got to see. Stand on your feet all over this room. Please, nobody moving around or leaving unless you just have to. May 13th, 2014 was the worst day of my life up to this point. I was at Starbucks in the parking lot there about to counsel a young couple in marriage. I said, I got some time. I'm going to call check on mom. And I called her. And I could tell she had been crying. I said, what's going on, mom? She said, Richie, we've had people all over town looking for you. And I said, well, mom, tell me what's up. You're concerning me here. What she said next changed my life forever. She said, Richie, your dad's just been killed in a car wreck. If that's ever happened to any of you, I'm sorry, first of all. But second of all, you know what I'm talking about when I say it's like, I feel like I was in a dream, like a nightmare. Like, no. He was just at my birthday party 2 weeks ago. This can't be real. I jumped in the car and loaded up my family, and we started moving on Interstate 20 going east to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm so thankful that I wasn't a lone ranger with the local church. I'm so thankful I wasn't one of these spiritual people that said, I don't need church. Because the church of God, the community around the world came to my, I'm telling you, people that I hadn't talked to in forever reached out to me. And the morning of my dad's funeral happened to be our wedding anniversary, mine and Leanne's wedding anniversary. And I received a text, and I included it in my book. I received a text from a mentor of a church in South Texas. It said, good morning, Richie. My heart hurts for you and your family. I'm reminded of what I felt when my father unexpectedly went home to be with Jesus. I was shocked and in disbelief, an overwhelming need to talk to him, knowing I had been promoted to a new rank personally. I'm praying for you and want you to know that God will help you and your family through this. Everything will be okay, Richie. And what he said next is what got me. God will bring all the pieces together, for he is the God of divine counterbalance. Never heard that term. When we lose on one hand, he will do something wonderful on the other hand to compensate for your loss. Expect really good things to happen. Know that I love you, Richie, and I admire your ministry. We went on to bury my father that afternoon. That night, I couldn't sleep. I was already scheduled to preach at a church in Chattanooga, Tennessee that Sunday. So I started preparing. I was reading through Matthew. I got to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, when he said, "Come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And then he said, "Take my yoke upon you." That word yoke comes from the Greek word zygos, Z-Y-G-O-S. It literally means to balance as a set of scales. I'm here to tell somebody that God always gets the last word if you don't quit. Weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The morning is not just a.m. The morning is when we wake up and realize that God is faithful in spite of. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The righteous go through things. We're not exempt from that. But the Lord delivers them from them all. Though a righteous man falls seven times in a day, the righteous, you don't know what I was doing yesterday. Well, you're in good company because the righteous fall seven times in a day, but the Lord picks them up. What's the common denominator here? God never quits on those that don't quit. He always gets the last word. If you allow, he's the God of divine counterbalance. In California, just before I close today, in California, there's a place called Death Valley. Death Valley is called Death Valley because nothing lives there. Nothing grows there. Things die there. Hence Death Valley. But in the fall of 2004, true story, something crazy happened. A monsoon rain came for a few weeks. When it was done, it went back to being what you see behind me. But in the spring of 2005, they called it the super bloom. Something interesting happened. That's the same Death Valley that you just saw. And they found out this interesting truth. Death Valley wasn't dead. Death Valley was dormant. Death Valley had seeds under the surface that you couldn't see. And all Death Valley needed was the right atmosphere. All it needed was rain. Can I tell you, when you're a momentum maker, you can make it rain. God's put something in you. And what you confess, you possess. Father, in the name of Jesus, all over this room and those watching online, God, I've asked you to raise up 1,000 momentum makers in this room. Do it now, Jesus. 90% of any given team, organization, or group of people are followers. Look at me now. 90% are followers. Now, how many math majors can tell me what's left? 10%, right? 10% are leaders. But here's what's interesting. Of those 10% of leaders, 9% are negative leaders. And what they meant by that is 9% go by what they see. Well, if it looks impossible, they stop there. Leaving only 1% leading by faith. Tommy Barnett, pastor in Arizona, told me one time, he said, "Your church will grow when you stop pastoring your church only, but start pastoring the community." When I'm on aisle 14 at Kroger, I'm their pastor. When Nate and T and Forever Faded are cutting my hair on Friday afternoon, guess who their pastor is? I'm his pastor. I'm their pastor. I want you to own this as a church. Stop looking for the 1% in this room and start saying this room is the 1% of this community, of this city. I leave you with this. I'm going to read a few names to you. See if you recognize any of them. Shamwa. Shaphat. Egal. Palti. Gadiel. Gadi. Ami. Sathur. Nabi. Joel. You better recognize those names. Those are the names of the 10 spies that said we can't. Read two more names. Hoshea or Joshua. Caleb. You recognize those? You didn't recognize the first 10 because nobody remembers a coward. You know Joshua and Caleb because Caleb is 85 years old and still saying, God, give me this mountain. Raise your hand if you're one of the momentum makers I'm here for today. Hands up all over this room. Message us online. You are will be, sir, ma'am, a momentum maker in your community. When others go negative, you speak faith. When you have a friend that shares with you a doctor's report, you speak life. When you're at a school board meeting, you're optimistic. You're giving hope. God's called you in this room, Word of Truth, to be momentum makers, not takers. Grape tasters and not giant talkers.